The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, this is our second week of our four-week series on the Lord's Prayer according to Luke's Gospel. Our emphasis this week is on the second petition of the prayer, "Thy kingdom come." What does the kingdom of God look like? Luke gives us an answer in the prayer that Jesus gave us. Each day we will have what we need, and all will be forgiven. Our sins will be forgiven, and we will forgive everyone who is indebted to us. The kingdom of God is found in forgiveness. As we pray those familiar words, do we really mean them? Are we ready to accept the forgiveness that God extends to us? And what does it mean to accept that forgiveness? What would it look like if we tried to live out the phrase, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us"? In Matthew, we have that familiar story of the unforgiving servant. The king has decided to settle the accounts with his slaves. One appears before him who owes him 10,000 talents. A talent was equal to 100 denarii. So the slave owed the king 1,000,000 denarii. If you consider that one denarius was the usual day's wage for a day laborer who worked 6 days a week with a Sabbath day's rest, the typical Hebrew laborer worked 50 weeks a year and earned an average wage of 300 denarii. It would take nearly 3,333 years to repay that debt. This slave must have borrowed from the king over and over again. "Please, sir, I just need a little help here. I promise I'll repay you." Soon the words became an empty promise, but the king kept helping this slave out. Then the king demanded that the slave repay everything that he owed. The slave knew that this was an impossible task, but fearing the loss of everything he had, he begged the king, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." There is no way that slave could have repaid the debt that he owed. Then the king does an unimaginable thing. He released the slave of everything that was owed to him. Imagine every debt that you owe being erased. That is what God has done for us through Jesus' death on the cross. Every sin has been forgiven. The kingdom of God looks like forgiveness. But what did that slave do? His fellow slave owed him 100 denarii, which was about 4 months' wages. When the first demanded that the second pay what was owed, the second said the same words to the first that he had said to the king, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." Instead of modeling the forgiveness that was given to him, he persecuted his fellow slave and held his debt against him. When the king heard what had happened, he summoned the slave to him and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he could repay the entire debt. Our words can come back to haunt us. Our actions have consequences. What would it look like if we really tried to live out, forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us? A woman came into the church office one day for pastoral counseling. The conversation revealed some things about her life. She was previously married to a man who was an alcoholic and who was abusive to her physically and verbally. She finally had enough and divorced this man. One day, she received a phone call from him. He wanted her to attend AA meetings with him. She shared that this was a difficult thing to be asked and to do. She attended AA meetings with this man. She cared for him when he became ill, and she was with him when he died. Is that perhaps what it looks like to live out the phrase, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us"? If anything, events of the past few months have revealed the sin that is binding God's people, the debts that are owed, debts that are as impossible to repay as 10,000 talents. Have you ever felt like that king? You don't want to answer the phone when you see a certain phone number because you're thinking, what do they need now? Or have you ever felt like that slave, feeling so helpless in your situation, knowing that you can't get out of that vicious circle that you are in and having no way to pay? Have you ever held on to anger against someone? Many years ago, Keith and I lived in the outskirts of Chicago, and one night I came home late, alone, and I was mugged. It took over 25 years for me to forgive myself of the guilty feelings that maybe I had done something wrong. It took those same number of years to forgive a young man who I don't even know where he is today. I held on to that debt for many, many years. What debts are we holding on to? As Christians, we believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. We believe that in his death, the debt is wiped out. Have you recognized the great debt that has been forgiven you? The unconditional, unlimited forgiveness of God. What is our response? Will we boldly pray, "Thy kingdom come"? Will we live out forgiveness as we have been forgiven? Lord Jesus, teach us not only how to pray, but how to live. I conclude with an interpretation of the Lord's Prayer by Francis McNabb in the historical Jesus Goes to Church. Please pray with me. Dear one, closer to us than our own hearts, farther from us than the most distant star, you are beyond naming. May your powerful presence become obvious not only in the undeniable glory of the sky, but also in the seemingly base and common processes of the earth. Give us what we need day by day to keep body and soul together, because clever as you have made us, we still owe our existence to you. We recognize that to be reconciled with you We must live peaceably and justly with other human beings, putting hate and bitterness behind us. We are torn between our faith in your goodness and our awareness of the evil in your creation. So deliver us from the temptation to despair. Yours alone is the universe and all its majesty and beauty. Good, caring presence within us, around us, and above us. Hold us in a sense of mystery and wonder. Let the fullness of your goodness be within us and around us. Let all the world know your ways of caring and generosity. May we find we have all we need to meet each day without undue anxiety. Overlook our many stupidities and help us to release everyone from their stupidities. May we all know that we are accepted. Strengthen us that we will reach out to the best, always with the faith to rise above the ugly realities of our existence. And we celebrate the gifts you have given us, the rich kingdom of life's possibilities, the power to do good and the triumphs of good, and the moments when we have seen the glory and wonder of everything. You are life's richness. You are life's power. You are life's ultimate meaning. Amen.